All right, rolling into hour number two of Just Two tonight. We'll have Georgia basketball this evening. No baseball as they were washed out for a second straight day at Kennesaw State. So we'll have Georgia basketball instead. And they've got an early tip time tonight at 6:30. So coverage starts at 6:05, and we'll get you to that in about 1 hour. Lots of news today, though. So it's I guess it's good that we've had a bit of a show with no baseball game, because we've had a hot topic with the Georgia and Auburn series, you know, reportedly maybe going to move. Georgia's AD Greg McGarrity announced last hour he's getting a 1-year contract extension, and I guess that's it really as far as the major news things that are going on. I don't know, has LeBron done anything today?
Let me go to ESPN.com. Oh, I did spend some time on ESPN.com. I got about two-thirds of the way through. Have you read the Donaghy piece, the Tim Donaghy piece?
I didn't. Is there anything like new in there
that
we didn't already know?
It's well worth the read.
All right. I saw that on there yesterday.
Yeah, here we go. Who's replacing Blake Bortles? Sources GSP to retire. I have no idea who that is.
I think that is...
Is it a fighter?
I think that's fighting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chicago White Sox, shortstop. Machado might have missed the boat.
Okay.
Kyrie, here you go. Made call to LeBron to move forward.
All right. We did get some LeBron news in. Good.
Sixers Embiid out at least a week with a sore knee. Ex-Minnesota coach Kill on Fleck. He's about himself.
Oh, that sounds like a shot fired, huh?
When I saw the Kill, I thought for a second it said he's about to kill himself. I'm like, well, God, I hope that's not the case. But
yeah. It sounds like he's about to kill Fleck, though.
Row, row, row your
he's
boat.
He's about himself.
And you've got, of course, tonight, Chris, the Heels and Duke.
Where somebody paid like $10,000 for a ticket to a game that will be played 2 weeks from now also.
Yes.
Just in a different venue, like 11 miles away, too, right? And that hall separates
they're
them?
They're right there together.
Yeah.
Chapel Hill, Durham, and Raleigh.
Yeah. I mean, 10,000 would even be a substantial amount to pay for that if it was the only game they were going to play this season against
each other.
But it makes it even just more absurd that they're actually going to play again in like 2 weeks.
I mean, the over-under for how many games they play this year would probably be 3. Because they could vary. You figure every other year they're going to meet the ACC tournament. I mean, there's a chance, certainly, they can meet the NCAAs.
I know. So.
So anybody who's paying that, they're a sucker.
They are. And all to just see a guy, too, like, you know, Zion Williamson, he's not going to retire after this season.
Right.
His basketball career is just beginning.
Just beginning.
In fact, hopefully you'll be able to come see him play for the mighty Atlanta Hawks in a year.
Is Barrett the better player all around, better pro?
He seems to be the guy who's projected now to be number one overall, yeah.
I mean, Williamson, I get the quote-unquote the sex appeal with him. I mean, just
– he's just freaky.
The guy looks like a linebacker.
Yeah.
Playing hoops.
Somebody caught – I mean, some photographer at a game a couple weeks ago got a photo at just the right time where he had his – hand on a basketball. His grip was so tight you could see where he was deflating the ball.
It's like me or you holding a grapefruit.
Yeah.
I mean, he's tremendous, don't get me wrong, but I could see how the pros, because what is he, 6'9"?
Yeah, like if you think he's just going to be a big, he's going to play center and just pound in the paint, I think he's 6'7". He's not even 6'9".
So they wonder, now he's better, but it reminds me a little bit of Big Baby Davis. Like, he came in, he had some really good years, but then the worry for him long-term, why he wasn't a high first-round pick, was that at some point, you know, you got everybody 6'11", 7 foot. It's just hard to consistently get the shot off. And Big Baby had a very good career, but there was a reason he went, I believe he was an early second-round pick.
He went in the second round. And yeah. I think it was either late first or early second, because the Spurs are the team that got him.
Yeah,
weren't they?
No, he wound up with Boston. I don't know if the Spurs drafted him. They took DeJuan Blair.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of, Blair.
He was a good player too, but I think Zion will be terrific, but I don't think he's not like a Durant or LeBron prospect.
No. No, not at all.
No,
but he is still. I'd like to see him on the Hawks.
Oh, I would too. I think he's terrific. Don't get me wrong. I think he's potential again, completely different position. I mean, I would put him as like a Klay Thompson type prospect, like a second team all-star. That's kind of what I see for him.
Yeah. Well,
and Klay Thompson's really good.
Whoever's drafted him, though, they want him to be that transcendent superstar and get you over
the.
You're not seeing that with him?
No. Do you?
I don't. Maybe I am just falling for the hype of just the. You watch that guy in a basketball court, and he just looks like he should be. Like he's not the same species as anybody else.
No, he's incredible. Now, could he be Barkley? He'd have to develop the jump shot. I mean,
Barkley was good enough to, if he had played in an era that didn't include Michael Jordan, he'd have been good enough to take a team to a title.
No doubt. They came close, that 93 Suns team. But don't get me wrong, I think Zion Williamson's terrific. But I don't think he's that perfect 100, a guy like a Durant or LeBron. I think his score would be in the 90s.
Okay.
Very good. And I could see Barrett, I could see how teams like him better.
All right. All right, 5 at 5 time now, brought to you by Duplicating Systems.
Who's taking Zion number one?
Who's taking Zion number one?
You would.
If I was the Hawks?
Well, if you're the Hawks, yeah, absolutely. I would, too, if I was the Hawks.
Yeah.
If you had a blank slate, would you take him number one?
I probably would.
Okay.
But
he's terrific.
But you know what? I'm going to watch the film tonight. I might check out some of that game, North Carolina and Duke, and then I'll decide whether I like R.J. Barrett or Zion more.
I mean, they're both tremendous.
Yeah.
I mean, Barrett had a triple-double with 23 points on Saturday.
I know. That's why Mike Krzyzewski, he just sits in that chair while the game's going on. He don't have anything to worry about unless he gets a bad call that he gets up and yells at the ref, not his players.
I love it. Like when Auburn played them good down in Maui. It's like, yeah, you and I were texting that. I said, yeah, the free throw discrepancy, I was like the – Wednesday before Thanksgiving, is 16-0. Guess in whose favor?
Right. That was in the first half. Auburn did not shoot a free throw.
They did not. In a six-point game.
I know that somehow Auburn stayed in it, though. All right, the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, there has been some talk about the Georgia-Auburn series possibly moving out of November and going earlier in the season. We talked about this last hour. Neither one of us like this, of course, and that probably isn't a surprise to many who listen. We are, as we've described ourselves, we are strict traditionalists. Is there any condition under which you would accept a move of this series to an earlier date?
Only if we were guaranteed to win every game against them, which is obviously impossible.
But deal.
Deal. But no, I don't like it, and it shouldn't be done. If it is done, we'll just once again bite our lip and take it, and we'll still go to the game. I don't know, but
it's fun. That scene you described earlier, though, now in the fourth quarter with the cell phone lights going off and it's dark and it's night and it's Auburn, we won't have that for a 3:30 game if you move it earlier in the season because it's still daylight.
Well, and you did the legwork, too, to find out we played them in November every year since 1936.
Yeah, and that's only, six or seven times in the history that we haven't played in November.
And one of those was in February in 1892.
I wouldn't mind playing the game in February because we got nothing else going on right now.
But, I mean, it's the South's oldest rivalry. We got it all started. So just stop. And they owe us another game here. We got to get that figured out. That would solve a lot of the problems.
It would. It sounds like on that front, though, it would be impossible to do without inconveniencing a lot of other schools on Auburn's schedule in the West until this current schedule rotation runs up. And I guess that's 2024 is the last year of it. So 2025 would be the first year that we might be able to get that going. You know, but Auburn wants out of that last month where they have to play us in Bama. Well, basically in a 3-week stretch.
We need to dig in our heels. And again, as you said, fortunately at Georgia, our head coach, president, and athletic director all went to Georgia. I'm not sure where Auburn's president went to school.
He went to Notre Dame. Oh, the president?
Yeah.
The AD went to Notre Dame.
Right, the AD went to Notre Dame.
He was born in Seattle.
Where did Malzahn go, like Monticello or something?
But he's from Arkansas.
Yeah, he's from Arkansas. He's an Arky.
Yeah.
That's what the natives call them there. So these guys, just like when Les Miles wanted to do away with Georgia-Auburn because Florida was really good there for a couple of years, they didn't think LSU should have to play them every year.
And it's like their AD's from like Rhode Island or something.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you know, I mean, Greg Sankey's like some Yankee, isn't he?
These guys that it rhymes with, at least. These guys just that want to just do away with these traditions. And listen, I really like money, even though I got into this business. But and then in the end, it just always comes back to something to do with money. And it's like, well, does that make it right?
Well, for the guys that are actually making all the money, I guess it does. Because they'll be long gone when all the damage that they've done is irreversible.
I know, that's a problem. But that's the other part, too. I love it so much. I want, when I'm gone, I want the game to be great and people to still be coming and for those traditions to still be enjoyed. And
bad news, Auburn's president, Stephen Leith,
yeah,
born in Providence, Rhode Island. Yeah. He attended Pennsylvania State University.
Oh, so he's a Nittany Lion.
Yeah, he was born in Rhode Island. He moved to St. Paul, Minnesota at the age of two. I guess that's where he grew up. Or no, they moved again to Pennsylvania, and that's when he ended up at Penn State.
So they're Penn State, Notre Dame, and
One was born in Seattle, the other was born in Rhode Island.
Well, that's one thing, though. Maybe some of these guys Hey, I was watching love my show Project Blue Book, and there was a little double agent. In fact, Christopher Moltisanti is a Soviet spy.
Oh, he's in that?
In Blue Book, yeah.
He popped up in something I was watching recently where he played, basically he was Governor Cuomo.
Okay.
Oh, it was the movie about the, remember that those two convicts that escaped from the New York State?
I do.
Like Ben Stiller directed this miniseries on Showtime last month. It was called Escape from Dan Mora.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden in the last episode, Moltisanti shows
That's
up.
Great.
But he's basically playing, you know, the governor.
He's gone straight,
Chris. He's turned straight. That's like, hey, that guy was a gangster.
He was.
Now
a
he's
gangster.
Playing the governor of New York.
So, I mean, could these Penn State and Notre Dame guys, could they be like double agents just trying to ruin Southern football here?
It might be. And that's why it's, you got to do, R.A.D. was born in Athens, right?
Yes.
He attended the university.
Yes. His brother, Stu, his wife, Peggy, who love them both. And Peggy's married to the great Steve Chicken Hawk Bryant. Greg's father managed the programs, the sales there. A Georgia family through and through.
So he's just going to let some guy from Seattle who went to Notre Dame and came to Auburn from the University of Buffalo successfully negotiate a change in a century-old rivalry?
I would certainly hope not.
I know. Let's hope not.
We got to dig in our heels on this. And I'm telling you, too, just when this stuff started making the rounds on social media and the like, I don't want to say it was 100% disapproval, but it was in the 90s. And I could just tell you from my crew, as you can imagine, they're like-minded people. It's everybody is unhappy.
I think one of the bigger issue, or at least maybe as big, is taking this game, which we've grown accustomed to our for our lifetimes, being played at this one particular moment in time every year, is the fact that the rival seems to be the only side that would be gaining anything from this. So what is in it for Georgia to help Auburn out?
At the very least, you would think they should come here twice in a row, but they should do that anyway
to
make up for when we went there in 12 and 13. And listen, teams used to do that. I mean, we went to Ole Miss in 75 and 76. South Carolina, I think, came here three straight years. They were here 79, 80, 81 because they wanted to get their schedule set to, you know, where it was with Clemson and Georgia, basically. So it's happened in the past, and I get it. We did it. It's like, all right. But you kind of figure, well, I'm sure Auburn doesn't like playing Georgia and Bama both on the road every other year, and we sure don't like going to Auburn and Tech both every other year. So I kept thinking, well, at some point, and you know, a couple of years this will get fixed, you know?
And then questions have been asked, well, like, did we get anything in return for that? And it's just, the answer appears to be no.
And like I said, the refs sure didn't do us any favors in the SEC title game. Now, granted, that was a Big Ten crew that cheated us in the national title game. Yeah, it's not like we're getting any breaks or anything.
Well, Jeff, moving on, if this is something that happened, I mean, how exactly would it work? So we play Auburn now, what, like the end of September and October? So the, what ends up happening in the November schedule then?
I don't know if Tennessee and Vandy move there. Again, this is a question I would like to ask every commissioner. And, you know, I think about, like, I saw Mark Womack, who's an assistant commissioner of the SEC, does an awesome job. He's been a great man for the SEC. Just, do you think college football is better than the NFL?
Well, of course he would say yes.
If the answer is yes, then why? And I'm not saying this is Mark in particular, but just for all of the commissioners, for all the conferences, then why are we all of a sudden getting in this business of trying to make college more like the NFL?
Well, and his answer would probably be that, well, one of the schools, in this case Auburn, has requested the change. And that's where the problem of that is, like, well, the three people who are basically in charge of Auburn football now, from the president to the AD to
none
the head coach. Right. And the only one that's even remotely close to, at least Malzahn, is from a state that is currently in the Southeastern Conference.
That's a loose association.
Right. But yes. Basically, you've got
Buffalo, Notre Dame, and Penn State, and whatever, Montevallo, wherever Malzahn went.
Yeah.
Oh,
So they don't care.
No, they don't.
They don't care anything about that.
And that's a problem.
But, like, the thought of, like, well, we play Auburn and Tech on the road every other year, so we move somebody else and maybe get another home game in there. If it's Tennessee, we play them on the road.
That's right.
The same year now we play Auburn on the road.
Yeah.
So, to me, I guess the only thing that sounds like it would make sense is we would just play the other West team in November every year.
I don't think they want that. I think they want division games in November like the NFL.
Well, somebody emailed us about that and asked, like, if they want that, does that open the door for Auburn moving to the east and Missouri to the west?
That ain't good. You can't do away with Alabama-Auburn.
Right, then that would mess up the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, because, you can't have them meet in the SEC title game. My friend Lou tweets in, move Georgia-Auburn, ? Hell no.
There you go.
That seems to be the sentiment. And if you don't think that way, well, you're just dead wrong.
Yeah, because even if you're of the opinion that I don't care when the game is, it's a Georgia game against Auburn, I'm going to go to the game and have a good time. If the date of the game is not a big deal for you, what should be a big deal is the fact that why would Georgia just do its oldest rival a favor?
No, there's nothing
without getting anything back for it.
Right. So you would at the very least, if we bow down and move this thing to October. Or, you listen, or if it's a deal where the league says, hey, I'd at least have more respect if the conference came in and said, listen, here's what we're doing. Nothing but division games from the first Saturday in November until Thanksgiving weekend with the rivalry games, and that's just the way it is.
And then South Carolina and Florida are going to be like, hold on there, partner.
Hold on just a second now. So if they said that and it was like, well, you know what, that's the way it's going to be, then you've really got no choice. But – at the very least, and this would just really benefit us one year, at the absolute minimum, they should return the two games. But to me, they should return and go back-to-back anyway. And that would alleviate their problem. So, you know, Malzahn, you know, he wasn't whining. Hey, remember 2 years ago when they beat their two biggest rivals? Oh, this is the greatest 3 weeks in Auburn history. Okay, so you lost to them both last year, so now you're going to change?
Well, they probably made an excuse then. That's why they lost us in the title game, because they were worn down from it.
Well, everybody plays a tough schedule in the league.
All right, moving on in the 5-5, we touched on the fact Duke and North Carolina play tonight, and Zion and R.J. Barrett. But you know, every year this game rolls around, and people say it's the best rivalry in sports. Is it?
No. Well, you know, the only people that say that are like Jay Billis.
I mean, yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, Duke and North Carolina fans, basically.
Right. Is it the best rivalry in college basketball? I'd say yeah, it is now.
Is it the best rivalry in North Carolina?
Probably.
Okay.
But here's the deal. Before Krzyzewski got there, it wasn't the best rivalry in college basketball. Duke was – they had a few years where they weren't very good. North Carolina and NC State was bigger.
So, since Krzyzewski got there, that's when it's sort of risen to this.
Of course. Yeah. So, yeah, in the last 30 years, sure, it's been. But for something to be the best rivalry, it can't just have been for 30 years or so. And plus, but whoever – let me tell you what, for Duke, here's another reason. And I'm not talking about making a deal for, like, a championship. You ask Duke or Carolina fans, all right, you get to sweep the season series, but the other guy's going to the Final Four and you're not. Do you take that deal?
No.
No.
Not at all.
It's not like football.
It's like that your Florida swept through the SEC
right.
And Kentucky ended up in the Final Four.
They
ended up in the title game. They both were in the Final Four, but the Gators lost.
So Florida went 19-0 in the league and swept Kentucky. Who had the better year?
Kentucky.
Thank you.
Kentucky was like an 8 seed that year,
yep.
Weren't they?
That's when Wichita drew them in the second round. It was like, oh, great. We're going to give Wichita a 1 seed.
And if they didn't get them in the second round, like Louisville in the Sweet 16, they had definitely
– brutal draw.
Yeah, they had stacked that because they didn't want Wichita in the Final Four 2 years in a row.
Kentucky, Louisville, Kansas were all in there or something.
Yeah, they were going to get them one way or another. Cats took care of them in round number two. Finally, wrapping up the 5 at 5, we're going to go – let's go to the world of golf, Jeff. With this question.
They've messed up tradition, too.
They
moved the PGA to May.
Well, what do you think about them letting the players wear shorts during pro-ams?
I've got no problem with that.
Okay.
Yes. How about seeing the pin in on the green? How weird is that?
That is still taking some getting used to.
Strange.
Who will win a major first? Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, Dustin Johnson, or Brooks Koepka? They've all won majors. I guess I should.
Yes,
who will win their next major first?
I think, to me, it's trending Rory because he's been around, but he hasn't won. So maybe he'll peak at the right time.
He's got 3 top 10s.
Yes. Koepka is he's hard for Augusta because he didn't play last year. So, I mean, so the guy won 2 of the 3 majors he played in.
It's also odd, like, he doesn't – the schedule he's keeping this year, he's been playing in Europe.
Yeah.
I don't think he's played – he played in the Tournament of Champions,
right.
And that's the only time he's been seen.
No. So, I'm assuming he'll come back and play in Florida to get ready for Augusta,
yeah.
One would think.
But the last time I think he played, he finished 54th in that, that tournament in Saudi Arabia where Sergio –
did they play together, in fact?
Ooh, I don't know that. And then what he finished it in that tournament in Hawaii was like 24th out of a 32-man field or something.
Probably, he probably had himself a nice offseason.
No, but that's kind of his style. Like, he'll show up at these majors and all of a sudden, like,
don't forget
about
him.
That's pretty good.
It'd be worth putting him in your foursome.
Yeah. Well, you're not like Matsuyama at Augusta.
Just stay with him.
I think Rory's going to be good for a foursome at Augusta, though, this year, too.
I agree. So who would your pick out of those five be? Next one to win one.
I think I'm with you on Rory. It's not Spieth.
No. He's leaking right now.
Or it could be Koepka, provided Rory or Tiger don't win at Augusta.
I don't think Tiger's going to win the Masters. I don't think his putting stroke's good enough.
What if the U.S. Open at Pebble ended up a Tiger-Phil showdown? Oh, all these years.
We've been waiting for
it. We finally get them. They're both in their 40s now.
And to get it there. And the other thing, too, it's like with Pebble, it's like, all right, Nicklaus with one of his most epic wins in 72. Watson with his most epic win, well, that and Turnberry in 82. Tom Kite was a very good player. Then Tiger wins by 15, the domination of the ages. And then Graham McDowell.
We need a good winner this year.
Yeah, because that was the just illustrious group of champions. I can remember, and Tom Kite is arguably the best player to win one and only one major. But I can remember an intro they did in 2000 for Tiger. I mean, they had Nicklaus and Watson standing and Kite in a seat. But it was like, here are the guys who have won the U.S. Open here.
Koepka might win that thing again.
He could.
That'd be 3 in a row, right?
Yeah.
Has that been done?
Got the turn of the century named Willie Anderson, who was a Scot. I think he won it.
He went to Georgia.
Yes, I think he won it 01, 03, 04, and 05.
Okay. So Willie Anderson and Brooks Koepka.
Hogan, You know, he had the wreck. I think he might have won three that he entered, but he didn't win it in three straight years because of the accident.
Okay, but he won three in a row for that he was in, you think?
I believe.
Okay.
Because I think – I know he won in 51 and 53. I'll look it up real quick. But yeah, that would be some history there.
All right, there's your 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.